Here we go. It is hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. We do have Chris Young coming up in an hour and 20 minutes. We'll talk with the Rangers president of baseball operations and get his thoughts post-trade deadline. They hit the skids here last week getting just one win against the Angels and one win against the Mariners. So they're looking up a little bit, but it is a day that congratulations are in order for one Nathan Eovaldi winning AL Pitcher of the Month for July. I mean, it's insane. It's one of the greatest months in pitching history. It's not that he was just 5-0 with a .59 and 30 2/3, allowed two earned runs for the entire month. Since 2000, it was just the 11th time a pitcher threw at least 25 innings over five or more starts with five wins at a sub .6. In each of the previous 10 occasions, the pitcher ended up winning his league's award. Most recently, it was Chris Sale, who did it in May of 2024 with Atlanta. Eovaldi's won the AL award in May of 23. At that time, he was 4-0 with a .96. Just incredible. He's one of these guys that's actively getting better as he's getting older. So, I mean, would you bet on that to continue these next 2 months? If it does and DeGrom can find it, you know, you just need to get there. And I think they'll be the team that nobody wants to face in the 2025 playoffs. Sean McFarland has five things we learned about the Rangers this week. And one of them I wanted to draw your attention to is Hobie Milner. Should he be the guy to close? 2.13 ERA in high leverage situations, the 11th best among pitchers who faced 40 or more batters in those scenarios. Six of the pitchers who've been better than Milner are considered full-time starters. I think we've seen enough from Garcia to be like, yeah, I guess if he's got to be your closer. But back-to-back games like that, I want to try something else. I don't know if Milner is the guy. The two players they acquired in trade, Maton and Kulum, I mean, these guys are outstanding. So I think you have candidates. If Garcia falters again this week, Wolchuk, do you think we'll see them make a change? Will they try other stuff? That's a good question for CY coming up at 4:20, isn't it?
Yeah, it could be the young guy who did get the save in their win against the Mariners, Cervelo. I mean, that kid looked like he's got some good stuff, 24 years old. I mean, I'd play around with this. You do have, I mean, the hope is it's unknown when he comes back, but I wonder if Josh Spores is somebody that they're thinking could end up playing that role for them down the stretch.
I know he still is peaking at 92. He needs to get up to 96, and I don't know if that's going to happen. I guess coming back from the shoulder, it takes a while.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's got time.
And they're slowly ramping him up.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, like, you don't know the timeline there, so I would. I mean, I'd absolutely kind of play around with this thing and allow others to have that opportunity. I mean, Cole Wynn from the 817, I think Cole Wynn's done an excellent job in the minors, and he has looked decent in his outings with the Rangers. The big news, though, that we just saw as they put out their lineup for tonight, Josh Young is not going to be going on the IL. He is in the lineup, and he will be DHing.
Oh.
So that's great news. To get his bat back is huge. So he won't be playing third. That will be Josh Smith. But Josh Young avoiding the IL and will be DHing tonight.
That's massive. I mean, I think he's hitting like .320 or probably even more than that since his return from his extended stay in the minors. A trade deadline takeaway here, you know, and the topic is, did the Rangers put too much confidence in the pitching staff? Only one time, bro, in the last 50 years has a team with an OPS of 676 or under through the first 113 games, made the playoffs.
Wow.
One time in 50 years.
Wow.
Who was that team? The 2015 New York Mets, led by Jacob DeGrom.
Well, wow. Well, well. Yeah. History might repeat itself, boys.
So if you got DeGrom, you could pull this off. I think that would be clearly the obvious takeaway there. I don't know if I could have done that, and we'll have to talk with CY a little bit more about this here coming up at 4:20. Another really interesting thing to reflect on, though, they dealt six players at the deadline. Each were ranked among the club's top 30 prospects, according to either Baseball America or MLB's pipeline list. None were day one draft picks, and only one was selected before the fifth round. So they're saying this is a sign that the Rangers' developmental system is now clicking. Mm. You make three trades happen with a bunch of guys that weren't even your top prospects. So salute to CY and everybody involved over there and getting this thing turned around. I know at one point you go back to 8 to 4 years ago and it had really bottomed out and you thought, man, not only are we not good here, but we don't have a lot of guys, you know, that would allow us to grow. Okay, then you get to Jock Peterson, boys. Get a load of this. He's one of the worst eight hitters in history going back to 1901.
It's bad. It's really bad.
I mean, it is hilarious, other than the fact that he keeps coming up with an opportunity to tie or go ahead. There's only one guy who's been this bad in the last 50 years. So you're trying to balance just a couple of historical things. And this is a catcher, Alex Jackson. He hit 122 with the Rays last season. So apparently it's picking up. Jackson, for the record, though. Okay, so check this out. Jackson had a 0.4 war last season, according to Baseball Reference. Peterson is 2.5 times worse with that's a negative 0.1 war this year for Jock Peterson, way worse than Alex Jackson. I don't know how you in good conscience continue to put him out there. You got Higashioka. You Dodge Young going on the shelf here. You can't play Jock Peterson.
No, I don't think you can. And Jock is not in the lineup. Not necessarily a surprise today, because I think you're playing against Max Fried, who is a lefty. So I think you got two lefties overall that you're going to be facing, and Jock's not going to be in the lineup against lefties. But it is, like, at this point, and Ezekiel Duran, and he had a couple of decent at-bats against Seattle. I think he was part of the rally there to help win the game in extra innings on Saturday. But, I mean, I'd rather just play Ezekiel Duran at this point than Jock Peterson. He's unplayable. He's not a guy that's going to give you anything on defense. If he's not hitting for you, he does not have a spot on a major league roster. And it's really, really sad. I was hoping that Jock would turn it around. But and at this point, when you're in not only a wild card race, but you still got a chance to win this division, you can't be screwing around anymore.
No, and Duran's a guy who recently almost went a full calendar year between big league hits. So it's tough to have two guys sitting on your 40-man like that. And you pointed out the pitching. It is Max Fried tonight, lefty. Then it's Will Warren, a righty. Then lefty Carlos Rodon. Then you get ready for the Phillies in Wheeler, Sanchez, Luzardo, with two out of those three being lefty. So they're going to have to go out and earn it this week.
Yeah.
And I'll tip my cap to him for battling, staying confident, but it's definitely go time. Okay, Sands is going to come up at 4:40, by the way, after CY, so we'll have a very strong baseball 4 o'clock hour coming up here for you. Elsewhere in sports, Luka had a big weekend. He got his short max deal signed. It's going to free him up in 3 years' time to sign the super-duper max if he's still in shape and heading in the right direction with the Lakers. But then Luka demonstrated he might have the worst musical taste in all of sports, as he and Laker execs, including Rob Pelinka, enjoyed a Backstreet Boys concert in Las Vegas hours after inking the deal that puts him in the purple and gold through 2030.
Bye.
And I'm not butt cracked on this. This is an AP Wire story. they were singing and jamming to "I Want It That Way." What the hell? I guess.
Tell me why.
It's a banger.
Maybe Luka's around that age. I mean, Backstreet Boys were big in 99, 2000. Yeah. Maybe this was the first band that he really liked when he was like 4 or 5 years old, bumping around Slovenia in the backseat of his mom's car. I don't know.
Everybody. That one jams, bro.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. I'll admit this. I saw them in Vegas as well.
Now, we're... Okay, so here's the next thing I was going to say is my money is it's due to a female, right? You're like, I'm going to take you. Your favorite concert was the Backstreet Boys, and I'm going to take you here on a date.
No, this was almost at DallasCowboys.com. Matter of fact, a guy that we worked with was his sister-in-law. It was his sister-in-law was married to one of the Backstreet Boys.
Nice.
So so we all got tickets.
You got a personal tie.
It was Joy Fatone.
Yeah, it was.
Joy Fatone's?
Yeah, so it was. But it was actually, there's like a bunch of ladies that were my age. that were at this. It was a very large female audience.
See, and maybe that would be a decent explanation. Like a friend is related to a band member. We're all going to go as like this big thing while we're in Vegas. It's
our
night out.
They took good care of us. I mean,
they're at the Sphere. Yeah. I bet it was probably an awesome concert.
No, we saw
them. Okay, so you're in the Sphere.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be cool to go see a concert at the Sphere.
It's not just a regular Backstreet Boys concert, but dang, there's a lot of stuff you could do in Vegas.
Oh, yeah, there are a lot of things. Get like an overpriced beef Wellington at Gordon Ramsay's place. I'm still bitter about that whole thing.
I know. And NSYNC was bye bye bye. You can flip them all the time.
Oh yeah, this one right here. That makes it larger than life. What?
Man, you could not go anywhere without hearing this one when it was hot.
For sure.
Okay.
I would never go to a Backstreet Boys concert though. No. Maybe if I was free and I can get backstage.
Well, that's what happened to us.
Holler at Cougars or something. Like, come on, babe, let's get back to our old ways.
I will say this,
though.
What do
you think, one night?
I mean, there are angles where you could see yourself
They have, like, jumbo cups of beers. Like, those, like, big old cans of, like, Coronas.
Yeah.
I think I drank six of them just watching. But, yeah, it's like, it's predominantly, like, a female audience.
Yes.
And they're all my age.
Yes.
And
whole lot of denim shorts.
There was the moms had their daughters with them kind of a thing.
Oh.
So it was kind of we went because we got to right by the stage. We were right there. Pretty cool. That experience.
I guess I'm just thrown off that they're, like, singing the songs. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, so I guess sometimes
The songs hit, bro. But I wouldn't be caught dead at one.
Thank you.
The songs hit.
Thank you. I wouldn't
be caught dead. Like, yo, let's go to a Backstreet Boy concert. I'm like, nah, fam, ain't gonna be able to make it.
Sorry. It's a scientific formula with the beats and the sweepers, and you know they know what they're doing there with that pop music.
Yep.
Okay, I told you last hour the coaches put Texas 1, Ohio State 2. You have Penn State, Georgia, and Notre Dame rounding out the top five in the coaches AP poll that was released today. August 30th at the Shoe. Is one of these teams clearly better, and who is it? Who's going to still be number one on September 1st?
Probably Ohio State.
Ohio State's better than
you think so?
I think Ohio State. And the quarterback will be the difference in this thing. I think Texas does have the better of the quarterback. I think overall skill might be Ohio State.
I think they graduated a lot of it. I think Texas has the better defense between the two teams. Obviously, Jeremiah Smith is the best player, period. And Caleb Downs, those two for Ohio State, like they might have the two guys that are highest in the draft. But I think overall team roster, I think Texas is going to be better than Ohio State this year personally. And I think the defense is going to be the reason why they get this win in Columbus. Mm-hmm. It's the first ever time we've had a 1-2 in a season opener. Yeah. Isn't that wild?
It's crazy.
It's going to be an awesome game.
That is awesome. You know, I think that goes to the credit of the playoffs. Like, you don't have to be scared preseason anymore. Let's line it up. Let's put on a show. Let's make, incredible ratings, you know, from the get-go. We're going to make the networks happier. And whoever loses, guess what? You can still lose one or two more times. And still be in the mix for the national championship if you can get this thing figured out as the season goes on. Coach Schottenheimer says Micah Parsons has been really good in the meetings, very engaged, and similar on the field from his from what he's expecting today. Micah doing his best to actively hold out against the team, but at the same time be active as much as possible. I saw him today walking around talking with coaches during drills, chatting with Matt Eberflus as this thing continues. And I think it's going to be up to him for when he just decides, okay, I've done enough. Now it's time to get ready. If Micah doesn't practice until week one, until like the Monday of would he play against the Eagles, and how good would you expect him to be?
I know, Brian, you've been on this. Like, you don't think that he would.
I don't think he plays.
I don't think there's any way he's not.
What's the drop dead date?
If to me, you need to get this thing done probably in the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
To make sure of that. But I think if with a Thursday game, if he signs saying on Monday, I don't think he plays. I just don't think they would chance. You know, Jerry was talking about injury and all that stuff. If this guy's gone through, I purposely watched him work during drills and stuff like that while practice is going on. He ain't doing a whole hell of a lot. You know, I mean, not to the point where you would say, okay, throw him out there and let him play. I think he's going to need I think he's going to need some practice either in Oxnard for some days, and then also what practice you're going to have, you know, here when they get back at the Star. But how much intensity practices are they going to have?
You know, the
intense practices are at the you're at in Oxnard. They're not here at the Star.
Do we know if he's like staying in shape and you know?
I'm just saying I'm watching the workouts.
I mean, if that's all he's doing, then there's no way he's staying in shape.
There's no.
I mean, how are you going to get off the line? How are you going to, you know, have your strength and, you know, muscle starts to atrophy? So I guess if he is by himself finding a gym in the California area that he can go to and work on his explosiveness and everything, maybe he could stay ready. But there's been no signs that he is doing that. That'd be a good thing to ask him about at his next media opportunity. We got the C-Note coming up next, Cowboys news of the evening, and we're back here on The Fan. Welcome back. It's the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time now for the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening. We'll do it at this time all season long here on your home of the Cowboys. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Krusty's Corner's coming up at 3:40. Segment's also brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Yeah, joint practice with the Rams tomorrow. Are you kidding me? Tomorrow could very well be the best indicator of how the first teams are looking that we are going to get between now and Thursday night against the Eagles. How much better is the Rams starting defense? You know, how much success will the Cowboys offense have against the Rams? There's a lot of intrigue going into tomorrow. Is that what you're going to talk about and coming up in Krusty's Corner, Brian? Or
yeah, I'm going to actually, it's funny because I'm just looking through some clips and there were some observations of some different things that were going on that I was going to talk about.
Sweet.
Just on the clips and stuff like that. But
There's some great clips from today.
Yeah, I mean, there's some stuff that there's some kind of little, some hints of where they're playing some guys at some different spots and stuff like that.
Hell so yeah.
Maybe we can dive into that a little bit.
What you call a tease.
Real fun though.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be great to see the Cowboys O-line go up against this defensive front from the Rams. And this is the big bummer on not having Guyton, because I remember, Brian, you just being wowed by Jared Verse. Like,
yeah,
we thought he was good, but Jared Verse looks even better. And those one-on-ones versus Guyton would have been awesome. But the big reason why the Rams are my pick to win the NFC as it stands right now is their defensive line. I think they're right there with Philly and some of the other fronts. They arguably could have the best defensive line in all of the NFC when you've got Braden Fisk and Jared Verse, but Byron Young's a star. Kobe Turner's a young star. Puna Ford, who just keeps getting it done everywhere he goes. So this is going to be a good challenge for the Cowboys offensive front.
Another note from today, Overshown doing rehab work. Joseph Hoyt reporting, I saw him do zone dropbacks and breaks for the first time. He was on the umbilicals. And Hoyt said he may have done it before, but it was notable. This is the first time that's happened publicly. So maybe another step in Overshown's recovery. And is this still anybody's guess? Like sometime before Thanksgiving?
Yeah, this anybody's guess on that one, though. I mean, he's doing some things. He actually, of the guys that are working, of those injured guys, I would say he's ahead of where Diggs is and Revelle and guys like that.
Okay.
It's great news.
Yeah.
But he puts in the work.
Todd Archer has a great article up kind of setting the tone as we've really made it to game week, Saturday preseason.
Yeah.
And, you know, tomorrow the joint practice, there's going to be a lot of action and stuff to talk about here. But Todd's headline, why Cowboys-Rams scrimmage could be a key for Dak Prescott. He says, I wonder if Dak will play any preseason snaps. He missed 9 games last season, had the surgery, new play caller, tweaked offense. But is it worth the risk of injury? I would say watching practice, no. I think Dak's been sharp. I'm good. I don't want anything happening. I don't want him getting his feet tanged up, falling backwards, and putting anything at risk. I'm satisfied with where Dak Prescott is, and from what I could tell, watch him in Oxnard, I think he's in position to have a great season.
I'd like to see these guys play a series, at least in preseason.
Yeah,
they don't, and I get the fear of it, but hell, these guys could get hurt walking out to practice. I mean, to me, it's Dak hasn't played with a lot of this offense in a meaningful game just to get the reps, even if it's for a series, if it's 3 plays. I would
Didn't
like
Tony
to see
get hurt
there.
The last time in a preseason game?
Tony did.
He did.
Tony did, and then he ended up getting Dak Prescott and going 13-3 and getting the number one seed in the NFC.
You already had Dak, didn't you?
Well, yeah, that's how you found out you had Dak.
Yeah.
That's because Kellen Moore got hurt, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think if you feel like you could get hurt walking to practice, then you shouldn't play preseason, you know, because I just want to limit the opportunities or the chances that you get hurt. But, hey, there's some value to be harvested in there if you still, you know, need to see Dak go out and operate this offense. But, I mean, they're making plays. He's on fire in the red zone. I think he's, you know, the least of my concerns when it comes to a player perspective. Number two, 3 years ago, the Cowboys found Pro Bowlers from the USFL in Brandon Aubrey and Kevontae Turpin. He says, I'm not ready to go that far with Perry and Winfrey, but I wonder if the Cowboys have hit on another player from the spring league after Winfrey was a star for the UFL's Birmingham Stallions.
Yeah.
He had you still where you were last week on this guy? What do you think? Is this starting Winfrey? No,
this guy is legitimate. When you're looking at the three techniques and the way that they've played, they've gotten, I think Solomon Thomas has played really well, and this is against good competition. This isn't against the backups. This is working against BB and Smith and Booker and those guys. But I think that Solomon Thomas, I think Winfrey, I think they played better than what we've seen from Oso Digizua. As far as some of the practice in the camps and stuff, when it comes to getting in the backfield, penetrating, tackles for loss, pressures, Winfrey's been really, really good.
Saw Mozzie Smith was in the tent today.
Yeah, he walked off. Yeah, he
everything okay?
Off. Well, this is one of those things to me, and this is a terrible thing to say, but tomorrow's a Rams scrimmage, right?
Mm-hmm.
We might have just walked out on this one.
Ooh.
We might have just like walked out, like we don't want to be involved in this one tomorrow.
You know? Ooh,
like he doesn't want to play.
Have you seen that before?
If that's the case, then you need to move on. I just feel his
camp, and this is really super irresponsible for me to say, but he has not done anything that gives you that thought that he is engaged and locked in and ready to roll and. You know, all the things that happened to him the last 2 years, it's the same way that he's been playing.
Going through the motions?
It's just going through the motions. Whatever you want to say, he just doesn't. He's not a good player. He's just not a good player. And I wonder if this is one of those times where all of a sudden, you know, you're like, listen, if I could just, I don't want to play against the Rams tomorrow. I just don't feel like doing this right now. And I like I said,
that's embarrassing.
Well, that's just me saying that. Don't, I mean, just you want to blame me for it. But he
hasn't played well.
He hasn't.
That's fact.
That's the problem. And you just wonder if he's just had enough. If he's just had enough of like, he's not played well, you know, and then why do I want to go out there and embarrass myself? You know, why do I want to, the scrutiny of me and they're blocking me? And I think that there's crossroads players. He's probably taking the path of taking the right path as far as, you know, I don't need to be here anymore.
Well, I mean, you're guaranteed the first 4 years, right? Unless it's otherwise stipulated in your contract. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe the incentive isn't there for him. Maybe he's having a hard time finding the motivation. But number three is, you know, on the other side of that spectrum, a player that we thought maybe was on his way out was a candidate to be cut. Damone Clark, in the absence of Kenneth Murray Jr., has increased his stock significantly. He's been a reliable special teams player, and he's having his best camp for defense. Number four, I wonder if Kyrie Elam becomes the next former high draft pick to find success with the Cowboys after being acquired in a trade with the Bills. Would you bet on that right now? Is this all Mr. Offseason, or is this his change of scenery made him a legit starter?
I'd bet on it. Yeah, I liked what I saw from Kyrie Elam. He looks like a player that is playing with confidence, and it sounded like that was his biggest issue in Buffalo. He never had the confidence. I believe in what we're seeing from Kyrie Elam because he's not just doing it against like Cropper and Brooks and Flannoy. I mean, he's battling CD and George Pickens. I like what we've seen. The one that I'm not going to bet on is Damone Clark. And Eberflus, maybe that's a big help. We've seen Damone Clark have good training camps. He might just be one of those guys that is an Oxnard player.
I thought he was a crossroads guy, and I think he's on the right path myself. Now, you know, I don't think you're wrong, but he looks like a different player with his staff. He looks like that he's playing with better awareness and playing downhill, and like they're not fooling him on stuff, and he's not late reading. So he's getting a lot of work, and maybe it's because of you know, with the situation with Murray and them, you know, being Murray, you know, came back to practice the other day. But I just feel like he's at a different point right now. We'll see what happens. He's going to get a lot of work in these preseason. I wouldn't be surprised if he starts, you know, in the preseason game, you know, against the Rams on Saturday. If he goes out there and flops around and doesn't look like he has the instincts and all that, I'll buy what you're saying. I just think he looks like a different player right now.
I'm hopeful. I just remember like 2 years ago, we were thinking Damone Clark could be a Pro Bowler, and he stunk.
Not.
So I have that hesitancy with him. Like, is it just a training camp thing?
Yeah. Well, we've seen in live rounds, like, he's just not, he doesn't have a nose for the ball. He's not diagnosing quickly, not reacting
quickly,
overrunning
stuff. That's the things we've seen
stuff.
From him before. Yeah. And to me, this is like the practices of just watching him play. He's reading things. And I think it might be Eberflus coaching him up. But if he goes out there in these next two games and it's the same old guy, I will clearly apologize to everybody out there. I just feel like that he looks different as a player from what I've seen in the past. Whereas Mozzie looks somewhat like the same player we've seen
in
the past.
For sure.
There was a run for Eberflus from his time with the Cowboys through the Colts where every linebacker he worked with was just turning to gold at right and left. Stephen A. Smith reacting to our George Pickens interview this morning on ESPN.
I understand the camaraderie more than I did in Pittsburgh. Yeah. You see what I mean? Like, even what you guys do, like the Cowboys, is like I said, they're known for the Super Bowl.
Right.
You see what I mean? Like, that's what they're known for. If they weren't known for that, then no one would care about the Cowboys.
Stephen A., I'll start with you on this one. Are the Cowboys still synonymous with the Super Bowl?
First of all, let's not insult the American public by acting like there's any legitimacy to that question, okay? There is none, okay? Of course you're not synonymous with Super Bowls when you haven't even been to a conference championship game in 30 years. Let's get that out the way. Let me pause for a second and look in the camera at George Pickens, who I like, who can ball. I'm sorry that the Steelers, he's gone from the Steelers, and he's now been contaminated by that fan base. Here's the deal. George Pickens, do you have any idea when you talk about Super Bowl and the Cowboys, you do understand that the Steelers are a more successful franchise. Did you know that? Did you know that? Do you understand what the hell you're saying? I mean, my God, you talk about a brother that needs to pick up a book. I mean, I'm sorry, I got to call him out on that.
Okay, so I don't think that's what George Pickens was saying, that the Cowboys are more synonymous than the Steelers. But I guess Stephen A. is a Steelers fan, so he likes the Steelers and the Knicks.
He doesn't
the Eagles.
Know what fan he is. He's a giant Steelers Aaron Rodgers fan. I don't know what the hell he is.
It's hard to tell what is shtick and what is not, but I think somehow, miraculously, the Cowboys have still managed to be synonymous with the Super Bowl, even though they haven't had success for 30 years. And I don't know if any other team would be able to pull that off, but that's a testament to Jerry Jones, I do believe. Okay, Krusty's Corner's coming up next. Brian, where are you taking
us? Yeah, I've just some observations from looking at some clips. We'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Back Nation here on The Fan. Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the kink, Brian.
Thank you very much, General, and thank you very much to Reliant as well for being a part of this one, as always. Speaking of air conditioning, I got back that facility over off Forest Lane.
It did?
It did have air conditioning.
Oh, okay.
It did have air conditioning. So, yeah.
Window units.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though, Lucius, though.
Hey, don't window units blow cold? That room be froze.
I'm thinking about getting one, actually.
Like in the 1960s, if you ever went to a house that had the window unit things working, the room was always just... Ice cold, and that thing, and it,
yeah,
and the sound, you could sleep to the sound.
Yes,
the constant just,
it's like the white noise,
the hum of the thing.
It's 102 degrees outside, and Grandma's got a blanket on as she watches the TV.
that is the truth. But yeah, they had air conditioning at that old facility. All right, like everybody out there, I mean, I'll say this. Sometimes you got to be careful with these clips. So what I like to do is I like to watch where guys are lining up or who's covering who. And then maybe they'll say, oh, CeeDee Lamb touchdown from Prescott. But then you watch who's in coverage, maybe on the other side, or you watch like if that would have been a sack and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So these clips can provide a little bit. And thanks to the guys and gals out that in camp that are providing these things. John Machota is the king of these things.
Is.
Tommy Yarish is becoming a star, too, in this thing, the way he's done it. But what I've noticed them, Zach, did you happen to see that? And I know we interviewed Deron Bland the other day. Did you happen to see that Deron Bland was playing some slot?
Yeah, he was inside, matched up with Turpin. Yeah, I'm selfish. I want to see Deron Bland playing the slot. Because I think that is such an important position, and it takes a special player that has the right play temperament and mentality, because you've got to be willing to be physical, and you need to be scrappy. That's why Jordan Lewis was so good. Orlando Scandrick fit that.
Yeah.
And I think Deron Bland has that same type of mentality to fit that slot corner.
Yeah, I put it this way. I don't think he wanted to play. I just don't think he prefers to play the outside. He prefers to play on the outside. So I don't think he is very, very interested in doing that. But I think if they ask him to do that, I think they're just trying to get an idea again. I think they're trying to see, okay, well, because Keeman Hall has been that guy, right? He's been
the, Green.
Yeah, he's been the guy.
It's a question mark.
Yeah, it is a question mark. But we'll see. We'll see how that. But I did notice that Deron Bland was playing inside. All right. I've also noticed, too, that they're trying to put their rushers on the same side. I saw Sam Williams on the same side with Ezeraku. And it was Sam Williams was playing as the end, really. Well, actually, more of a tackle, like a wide technique tackle, defensive tackle. And he was inside of Ezeraku, and they're rushing the passer that way.
So when we were doing three live mics, that was something I was noticing quite a bit last week. And it was always Sam Williams who would be inside next to Neyland or Ezeraku or whoever. Sometimes it was Peyton Turner. But it is that's fun that Eberflus is kind of playing around with that.
Yeah, he is kind of just – he's seeing if he can put – like I guess it's like what – if you put as receivers is what – with Pickens – and Lamb being on the same side. Now, how are you going to block? How are you going to? I could see a deal when you get Micah back, and if Ezeraku continues to develop like we think he is, putting those two guys on the same side and making, you know, if you're trying to slide the protection that way, maybe you get somebody home, you know, on the other side for sure.
I love that idea.
Dawson, you said you saw that. Did you see Donovan Ezeraku get around Nate Thomas pretty quick?
Oh, man. And it was cool because he was like attacking his inside shoulder, inside foot. And then he just like teleports to the outside.
Yeah.
So the tackle's thinking, okay, you're going in. And it was just way too quick. And he dipped and ripped. And next thing you know, he's chasing Dak. I think the play actually was a Dak escape out the strong side.
Right side there. But yeah, Donovan Ezeraku, I keep saying this, and I will continue to believe he was one of the three best pass rushers I saw in the draft last year.
Yeah.
And I think that he is equipped to handle this assignment. I think he's a guy that no matter – it could be against the Cowboys, it could be against the Rams, we'll see. I think this guy is going to be a legitimate pass rusher for you this year.
I was wondering if this could be like the second version of member Tank actually being better than Clowney.
Right.
All the attention on Carter. Here comes Ezeraku in the second round.
Exactly. I think you're completely
That'd
on
be fun.
Onto something right there. I'll tell you what, though. There was a really nice cut on the – I watched the run play. So we're starting to see like down blocks, you know, the stuff on the edge a little bit more. We've been seeing some of the running game inside, but we're now starting to see some pulling going on here, and this was a really, really good job. Hoffman, though, playing guard with a reach block on our guy JT, that big bodied Toya inside. And I'll tell you what, man, Hoffman got onto him quick, and you're not going to be able to fight him one on one because of his size. But he got enough. He like kind of half manned him. He kind of got to the corner of him, and then was able to turn. And a really great read by Williams to see where the block was going to develop. Usually, if you put your rear in the hole with a with a back, you got to give backs two ways to cut.
Mm-hmm.
If you all of a sudden they're thinking, okay, I've got to just the only cut I've got is this one,
right?
Because you're pinning a guy to the inside. So really good job. Hoppin had to like, listen, I can't play this guy toe-to-toe. He turned on him. He pinned him inside. And then you saw Williams come from behind that. And it was a really good block with Adeniji, like he kicked his guy wide. Mm-hmm. He was kicked Ezeraku wide on the play, and now there was a gap up inside there. So really good job by him of the guys making that happen. Okay. Shoddy was talking about the guys that needing to stack days, or they were talking about receivers and stuff like that. I kind of feel like he was talking about Jalen Tolbert on this one. I even said this in a tweet this morning, and then he said it in the press conference himself. He said, you have quiet days. I think he was talking about Tolbert here, but it looks like in these clips that Tolbert had him a day. Like he made an adjusting catch along the sidelines.
Saw that, yeah.
And then he had another catch in the back of the end zone. So is this one of those things, once again, Wolchuk, where it's Tolbert, he's had a couple of quiet days, now he's going to have a big day, and then he'll have a couple more quiet days, or does he stack days on top of him? And Shoddy's talking about him being the third receiver right now. I think he's just being nice myself.
I think he's being nice. I think he's also been nice shouting out Mozzie. But this became a big topic of conversation on Cowboys Twitter over the weekend because our buddy Foots, who does an excellent job on YouTube.
Foots the king.
He was ranking behind CD and George Pickens, who he thinks have been the top five receivers at camp. And I quote tweeted and gave my rankings. I think it's been Turpin, Mingo. Then I had Holden.
Yeah.
And then I had Tolbert at five. And I think people are running with the idea that Tolbert is in trouble and on the bubble. I believe he should be. The Cowboys don't.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any chance Jalen Tolbert's on the bubble and he gets cut. And I think Holden's going to be the darling that's like, oh my gosh, is he too good? Can you get him on the practice squad? And we have the fear of he can't, but evidently... we usually kind of overvalue that a little bit.
Right.
I think he probably will end up being a practice squad guy, but I think Holden's had a hell of a camp.
Man, he had two more today. I mean, and it does not matter if he's guarded. He has the ability to go snatch it or reach up for it. He's got incredibly sure hands. It's interesting. I would have a hard time going away from the production that Tolbert has showed me in actual NFL games and putting stuff that guys had done in a practice situation ahead of what he did last year.
Yeah, I was, to me, I just... The word I always use with Tolbert is consistency. Where's the consistency here? And if the days where he's quiet, I'm like, okay, but you're right, Dawson. There have been days where you've seen him make plays. You've seen him catch the ball. You've seen him. He started off camp, I thought, pretty good, and then had those quiet days. But I kind of feel like that maybe Brian Schottenheimer was talking about him. You mentioned Holden.
Mm-hmm.
How many receivers do you think they keep anyway? And does Holden have a chance? Do they keep five or is he the sixth guy?
I think they should keep six because of the special teams value here. I think Holden's done enough. We haven't even gotten to preseason, so that's going to work itself out. But you're talking about guys like Jalen Brooks and Robert Flannoy that they also like. They're all competing for one spot. Kelly from Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Like somebody just texted, Holden's not going to make it to the practice squad. The entire league just had a chance to draft Holden.
Yeah.
They didn't. He was an undrafted rookie free agent. Now, he does have a sponsor in Junior Adams, who is his wide receivers coach. Does Junior Adams have the sway to say, that's my number six wide receiver? I think he's stacking up good days. I've seen consistency from him. And if he carries into the preseason, I'd advocate to have Holden on the roster. I just think he screams of a guy that they do end up having on the practice squad.
Help me out here just for roster building purposes. Does Turpin count as a wide receiver?
I think he would. Yeah, I think he would.
Okay, so I think Mingo, Tolbert, Turpin. So you got one between Brooks, Flournoy, and Holden. I'd go with Holden.
I think that the one thing is, I don't think Brooks has been bad.
I think Brooks is a good special teamer. I think Flannoy can also be, and both of them actually are pretty good blockers.
Yeah. So that one might be, like, we always say this, so, oh, this is going to be a tough cut and all that. These guys will take care of themselves. If they play, they'll find a way on the team. If they won't, they just won't. But I kind of feel like that, though, they might be forced to carry five wide receivers just because of some other injury spots and stuff like that, where they're going to
numbers game.
That numbers game always plays. And I saw a nice little blitz pickup too. by Williams. I think Williams is kind of could be your third down back. I think that's where he's best suited. They bring Keymon Hall like on that slot blitz, and he slides across the pocket and does a nice job picking it up. So I would, that's really good recognition. I think the other backs, when you're talking about Blue and Sanders and those guys, I think they're faster. I think they're quicker. I think you hand in the ball, they make things happen. Williams, to me, use him on this blitz pickup stuff. Use him on throwing him the football when you have to. But I think he's going to be the third down back. That would be my guess right now.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. We got two down, 2.5 to go. Rangers-Yankees pregame at 6:30. Massive series here and against the Phillies later on this week. Well, Chuck, what is next?
All right, let's do some football sounds and news of the day. We got an update on the Cowboys joint scrimmage tomorrow. How in the world does Texas plan to guard Jeremiah Smith? And Mary Kay Cabot had some jokes. That's next in the Nation.